This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to read to you from Isaiah chapter 59, beginning in verse 13. This is in the ERV version, the easy to read version. It sounds like it's for a third grader, but it really is a good version. It says this: "We rebelled against the Lord and lied to him. We turned away from our God and left him. We planned to hurt others and to rebel against God. From hearts filled with lies, we talked about it and made our plans. We pushed justice away. Fairness stands off in the distance. Truth has fallen in the streets. Goodness is not allowed in the city. Loyalty is gone, and people who try to do good are robbed. The Lord looked and saw there was no justice. He did not like what he saw." Well, I think that is an accurate description of what we're seeing in our world today, what we're seeing in America today. And with the election of Donald Trump in 2025, I think he is trying to push justice back to the forefront. And he campaigned on the platform of law and order, and he is delivering on his platform. Now, to discuss what is going on in the world and what's going on in America is my good friend, the Bishop E.W. Jackson, pastor, author, patriot, Marine Corps veteran, Harvard-trained lawyer, and the president of Stand, Staying True to America's National Destiny, with the mission to unite Americans as one nation under God. Bishop, welcome to the program.
Pastor Jeff, it's always a pleasure and honor to be with you. And by the way, let me say right off the bat, I want to thank you. We have a Stand Awards dinner coming up. I hope we'll have a chance to give away some tickets because AFR sponsored it and you've also sponsored it. So I just want to thank you and thank AFR for the support.
Well, it's our pleasure to do that, and I appreciate you so much, my friend. I saw you at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and it's always good to see you. And you are just back in the last, couple of weeks from Israel?
Yes, quite a trip. I actually went to Poland and Israel, visited Auschwitz in Poland.
Wow.
And Krakow, and saw some of the sites of Hitler's most nefarious and wicked and evil plans to try to annihilate the Jewish people. And then went on to Israel, visited some kibbutzes that had been kibbutzim, I guess is the way to pronounce it, that had been attacked on October 7th. So it was really quite an impactful and powerful trip.
I have never been to a concentration camp. That would be extremely emotional, I would think.
Oh, you know, Pastor Jeff, the Bible has a reference in the Old King James. It calls it the mystery of iniquity. In other words, the notion that you can't fathom the level of and the depths of evil to which people can descend. But you're right. It was highly emotional. I think one of the things that jumped out at me most, I get emotional when I think about it now, we actually went in and saw some of the tons of hair that the Nazis collected from the Jews that they then turned into rope and thread and used for all kinds of things. In other words, they used their bodies like you would use the parts of a car that you're junking. You know, you just grab it and you use the various parts for whatever. I mean, it just it's so dehumanizing that it again, it's just hard for us, I think, as normal human beings and particularly as Christians, to even wrap our minds around how people can be that wicked, that evil. But it's what happened.
It's just horrific. Well, I'm glad you got to do that. And how long were you gone?
About 10 days. 10 days with the, and this is my fourth time to Israel. I'm amazed Mike Huckabee, now that our ambassador, has been over 100 times. One of our guides had been 27 times. It took me about 2 weeks, about 8 days for my body to readjust.
Yes.
So, we're going about 10 days. But it was a very, very busy trip, packed full. But I'll tell you, I'm grateful for every moment of it.
On your travels, how is, like in Poland, how is the U.S. perceived there?
You know, I think generally speaking, Poland, having escaped the grip of communism, has a very favorable view toward the United States of America in general. I can tell you that Poland, just like I think every other country in the world at this point, including our own, is suffering from a moral deficit. I think that they are wrestling to try to find their moral footing, because we had an interesting experience when we were in Krakow. A group of preachers, every single one of us who talked after we had finished dinner and decided we were going to do a little shopping and so forth, every single one of us got approached on the streets. And for reasons not spiritual, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And we were kind of shocked by that it was so prevalent that not a single one of us, at least none of the people that I talked to, escaped having been approached. Would you like to go to a strip club? Would you like to get some women? Would you like? Mm-hmm. And of course, praise God, none of us was interested in anything like that. But we were all a little bit shocked that seemed to be very much a part of the culture of the city. So I think they're wrestling, just like a lot of countries are. Hungary just passed a resolution, a constitutional amendment, actually, to say that there are only two genders, male and female. That's now enshrined in the Constitution of Hungary. The Supreme Court of the UK just said a woman is a woman based upon her genetic and biological birth, and you can't change that. So, I think all of these countries are trying to figure out just who they're going to be. Are they going to be nations of Judeo-Christian values and principles, or are they going to allow the left and Marxism and moral relativism to just really spin them off into the netherland of wickedness and evil?
Mm. I saw a poll from CNN just yesterday, Bishop, that was talking about this narrative that so many people who voted for Donald Trump now have buyer's remorse, and if they could do it again, they would never vote for him again, that kind of thing. And the polls showed that very few, I think it was like 1-2% of people who voted for Trump would change their vote, and vice versa. Very few people who voted for Kamala Harris would change. They would still. So the man said, based on this data, if we had the election today, we'd have a similar result because people don't have buyer's remorse. Now, I stated, there are those that would say the opposite, but I think Trump is trying to return us to a place where we don't push justice away, where we embrace fairness, where truth is, reigns again, and Lady Justice puts back on her blindfold. Some will say, "Oh, it's the opposite of that, because Donald Trump is trampling the courts and he's trampling the Constitution." And as someone who has studied law and the Constitution, what do you say to that allegation?
That to me, Pastor Jeff, is so far off that it's hard to it's hard to fathom this. Because look, just take an example that's in the news right now. Chris Van Hollen of Maryland has been making all kinds of noises about he's going down to El Salvador and he's going to rescue this guy that's been deported to El Salvador, an El Salvadorian citizen, by the way, and an MS-13 gang member. They haven't offered anything to disprove the allegations that the Justice Department has brought against him. But when Laken Riley was murdered, when Jocelyn Nungare was murdered, when Rachel Morin was murdered, going all the way back to 2008, when Jameel Shaw Jr., black kid out in L.A., was murdered by illegal aliens, and hundreds of others, nothing. They have nothing to say. So it tells you there's something wrong with their moral compass when they want to defend an MS-13 gang member and a human trafficker, and they will not defend innocent women and young people being murdered by folks who shouldn't even be in our country. So it just goes to show how far off some people are. And until they change, I mean, I can't change my view because my view is one based upon justice. And that is that the presidency and the government of the United States should protect and defend the American people, our safety and security. Of course, I mean, that's axiomatic. That's not even debatable. But apparently for them, the government ought to defend illegal aliens who don't even belong here. It's hard to understand.
Well, it really is sickening. And that Senator Chris Van Hollen, he said, my overall purpose here, because he went to El Salvador, and the El Salvadorian president wouldn't meet with him, and they wouldn't allow him to see Kilmar Abrego Garcia. He said, my overall purpose here is to send a signal that we are not going to stop fighting for his return until he is actually released. I like what Marco Rubio said. He's not a citizen of the United States. He was here illegally. And if you tried to press it, well, you return him to the United States. Well, we'd send him somewhere else. If you don't send him back to his country of origin because he has this withhold order, then you're going to send him somewhere else. But he's not coming to the United States.
You know, with all the problems that we have in our country, we've got a crime problem. We're still trying to rebuild our economy. I think President Trump is trying to put us on a more solid footing for our economy. We've got issues of trying to get the housing market back up so that young people can buy a home, can enter the housing market again. We've got major family problems. You know, I've got the Family Restoration Institute, which is trying to address the issue of the utter breakdown of the American family, people not even getting married, having children. I mean, we've got all kinds of problems, but he wants to focus on a guy who is a criminal and an illegal alien in our country, bringing him back to the country. I mean, again, of all the things that it tells you his constituency in Maryland must be way off, because why would they even want to elect somebody who turns his back on them to focus on an illegal alien who shouldn't be here in the first place? I mean, yeah, it's again, we've got a lot of problems in this country that we need to be praying about and working on. And I've just named a few of them. And that's what we need to be focused on. But unfortunately, there are people who swallow a camel to strain a gnat.
Well, you know, Bishop, when we had the George Floyd incident and, you know, they're erecting statues to George Floyd. George Floyd, I mean, he's not the kind of guy you want to put up as the poster child for decency and morality and hard work and ingenuity. I mean, they're doing that now with this guy Kilmar Abrego Garcia. He's like the poster child of he's our guy that we're fighting for. As you said, nothing has come to the forefront that would say, well, he's not an MS-13 gangbanger, and he did have the allegation that his wife said, you know, this guy beats me, and punched her in May of 2021, hit her with boots in 2020, he hit her in the eye and gave her a black eye. I mean, he's got a history of that, yet that's the guy they want to lift up and put on the poster. How does that make sense?
Well, you know, I did a talk on Tuesday for my National Awakening Coalition conference called How the Left Uses the Trojan Horse of Race to Affect their Social Change Agenda. And this is what they're doing, really. They're using this little shiny object that they can get people emotionally worked up about called race. And, you know, black and brown and people of color and this, that, and the other. And they use that to really justify that nothing short of a Marxist, socialist, communist agenda. I mean, that's the real name of the game. And they want power to impose that agenda on our country. And they use race as the Trojan horse to sell all of that. Because if you're against it, then you're against racial justice. But if you buy into it, well, then you buy into transgenderism and homosexuality and abortion and a whole bunch of other things that they're bringing with it. So the name of the game for them is power.
Yeah, it really is. Well, it's just sickening. And the scripture in Isaiah 59 is so true. We push justice away. Fairness stands off in the distance. Truth has fallen in the streets. Goodness is not allowed in the city. And in many cities in America, goodness is not allowed in. And it really puts the vulnerable at risk, and women and children at risk in those cities. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I'm talking to my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson, pastor, author, patriot, Marine Corps veteran, Harvard-trained lawyer, talking about the issues of the day, what's going on in current events, and how does the Bible speak to those things. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. And Bishop Jackson is a Harvard-trained lawyer, along with being a pastor, an author, patriot, and Marine Corps veteran, and the president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. Lots in the courts, Bishop. We have courts battling Donald Trump, trying to stop his power, especially this guy, Judge Boasberg, chief judge, the District Court of Washington, D.C. What do you make of all that? Do those judges have a legit case to go against Trump?
Well, first, I think it's the continuation of lawfare against him, because the left has decided that they've realized they can't persuade enough Americans when their true agenda is known. They can't persuade enough Americans to vote for them that they can win a national election. So what they've got to do is find another way to have their agenda implemented. And of course, a tremendously tyrannical way to do that is to get some local district court judge whose jurisdiction is really not nationwide by any statutory framework, but get him to issue injunctions against the president of the United States that then have nationwide implications. So it's really the continuation of lawfare. It's the same thing that they did in New York, the same thing that they did in Georgia. They're trying to do it now at the district court level. But the Supreme Court's going to have to rein the courts in and tell them, you don't have the jurisdiction to encroach on the executive authority of the president of the United States, particularly when it comes to matters of foreign policy and military policy. And by the way, you know, when I was in law school, I did graduate from Harvard Law School. Oh, boy, I certainly hope John Harvard's spirit gets revived at Harvard.
Yes.
Harvard. But I was taught that the purpose of courts are to resolve cases and controversies between parties, not to make policy, not to make law, but to resolve cases and controversies. That means that all a judge can do is determine whether he or she has the jurisdiction to provide relief for a particular plaintiff who is seeking relief. That doesn't include an injunction that involves the entire immigration policy of the federal government. And yet this is where they're going. So I think they're way beyond their jurisdiction. And I hope the Supreme Court will slap them. They have slapped them down some already, but I hope that there will be a major slap down to say, you know, get back into your lane and stop trying to be unelected president of the United States.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. How about the situation with Letitia James under investigation for mortgage fraud charges? I would like to say couldn't happen to a nicer person. But, you know, some people will look at this, Bishop, and say, well, this is just what they did to Trump. Now Trump's doing to them. Do you see it that way?
Not at all. I think you reap what you sow. And she has really gone out of her way trying to disparage, defame, slander, and ultimately punish Donald Trump. I mean, my goodness, she tried to take a whole chunk of his wealth away from him. Thank God the courts put a stop to that. And I think that if she could, she and her cohorts in New York would have tried to put him in jail. But of course, they can't now because he has presidential immunity. But look, when you start, every single one of us has to realize this. When you start a fight, when you start a political battle, understand that all eyes are going to be on you too. And there's going to be a search to see what your vulnerabilities are. So that means you better make sure that your house is in order. Now, if her house is not in order and she, in fact, committed mortgage fraud, she is going to have a problem. That is a crime. And she is going to have a very, very serious problem. So you're right. I don't wish ill on anybody, even our political enemies. But, you know, we are a nation of laws. And when you set about to enforce the law against a duly elected president of the United States, you better make sure that you have dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's, because if you haven't, it's very likely to come back at you.
Bishop, let me ask you this question, because it was in the news. You know, President Trump said CNN hates America, and then they quickly came on and said, no, CNN doesn't hate America. Obviously, they hate Donald Trump. According to AI, Grok 3, you know, 90-95% of their reporting is negative against Donald Trump. They don't celebrate anything when Elon Musk sent the rocket up there to take right. the stranded, you know, astronauts back. His name wasn't even mentioned. And none of that would have happened without Elon Musk. They just tried to give all the credit to NASA. Because you've been smeared by the left, and when you ran for office, they, you know, paint you as this horrible, awful person. How do you keep yourself from viewing like CNN or the left or these people that slant everything in a certain direction? They're much more concerned about this Garcia, this MS-13, alleged MS-13 gang member. How do you keep yourself from not seeing them as the enemy and somebody that I want to fight, not to support?
Well, look, they're still smearing me because they wrote an article about Winsome Sears, who was running for governor, and they slammed her because when she was running for lieutenant governor, she campaigned with me. And then, of course, they brought out all the old canards, E.W. Jackson's the most anti-gay politician, you know, now all that. So look, they're still doing it, but you know, I feel this way. Jesus said, if they hate you, remember they hated me first. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much they hate us, we can't fall into the trap of hating them.
Right.
We have got to love them no matter what and pray for them. Now, you know, the Bible, however, makes clear, and I know they don't like this seeming contradiction, but the Bible makes clear, we are to hate falsehood. Hate it, not people. But hate lies, hate falsehood. And the things that they're trying to sell the American people are lies. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 125, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. Therefore, I hate every false way. And I think that's the approach we've got to take to it. Just hate the false ways and understand that they don't have anything but hatred, because they don't have the love of God in their hearts, in their lives. And all they know is to try to destroy human beings that they think are against them and what they want. But we just have to pray for them and then continue to stand up for what is right, knowing that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Okay, Bishop, we have in the news the tragic situation where a 17-year-old boy, Carmelo Anthony, stabbed another high school student, Austin Metcalf, honor student, football team MVP, 4.0 student, stabbed him in the heart at a track meet and killed him. And claiming self-defense, a black student killing a white student, we know that is reversed, that's all we would hear about on the news just 24/7, but you don't hear a lot about it. As a lawyer, if somebody would come to you with that guy's case and say, I'm gonna say this was self-defense, how would you pick that apart?
Well, of course, and I'll say this with this proviso, you know, when you get investigations and lawsuits and court cases and trials, sometimes facts come out that you don't know about initially. So with that proviso in mind, there may be some facts that we're not completely aware of, but based upon what we know now, there's no way this is a self-defense case. There's just no way. Because look, in self-defense law, you are not allowed to escalate. So in other words, somebody slaps you, you don't get to shoot them. Okay? somebody bumps you, you don't get to stab them. Now, you can respond with appropriate force, and that's only with appropriate force based upon the continuation of the threat. So, for example, somebody punches you and then runs away. You don't get to shoot them in the back and kill them. So I don't know exactly what happened, but it is clear that this victim did not put this kid in imminent fear of extreme bodily harm or death. And for him to take out a knife and stab him in the heart, I don't see any way in the world self-defense is going to work in this case. I'll tell you what sadly could work, because, you know, they've raised up several hundred thousand dollars for him. Mm-hmm. His parents, they've apparently moved into a $900,000 home, bought a brand new car, and all of that because of all the money being raised. So again, race is the Trojan horse that works. Mm-hmm. You're right. If it had been reversed, oh my goodness, the victim would be the worst person in the world. He would be a white supremacist. He would be a racist. But because it's a black kid who killed a white kid, you know, suddenly the perpetrator is a hero. I would if they asked me to represent him, I would tell them you need to be looking at a plea bargain. Because mm-hmm. there's no way you're going to win a trial unless you get jury nullification, if the jury mm-hmm. is fair.
Yeah. Well, it's I feel for their family. So the family is left. Our son is dead. And now all the support seems to be, at least media support, is all for the murderer. And, yep. You know, Bishop, what kind of country do we live in where people are wanting to support a kid that, as you said, based on the data that we have right now, it looks like it's open and shut. Now, he doesn't try and defend himself saying, I didn't do it. When they said, you're the alleged killer, he said, no, I did it. But it was self-defense. It's a sick mess.
Let's remember, too, Austin Metcalf is the name of the victim here. And he's the one we really ought to be talking about, because this kid apparently, you know, had a very bright future ahead of him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure what Carmelo Anthony was into, the fact that he would bring a knife to that situation, that he was apparently in the wrong tent. So, I mean, all of that indicates to me that he may have been looking for trouble, because when they told him he had to leave, he said, you know, you put your hands on me and see what happens to me. Mm-hmm. And I guess there was some attempt to escort him out.
Right.
No indication of a violent punch, or that he was knocked down, or that people jumped on him.
Right.
Apparently, they tried to move him out of the tent, and he immediately pulled out this knife and stabbed somebody. So I don't know what this was on this kid's mind, but Austin Metcalf has been terribly, terribly victimized. His family, I can't imagine what they're going through right now. We just have to remember this. It's ultimately not the skin, it's the sin. Mm-hmm. It's ultimately the fallen condition of the human heart, that this kid did not have the love of God in him, because Austin Metcalf is a human being, a fellow human being. And again, it's just being reduced to race, one race against another race. It's not a biblical worldview, and that's the worldview we've got to look at. In this case, the question is sin versus righteousness, right versus wrong, not race.
Amen to that. Well, Bishop, what do you make of all the tariffs and the game that Trump is playing? You know, people say he's playing, you know, 4D chess while these other guys are playing checkers. But, you know, even if you hate Donald Trump, to say that he's an idiot when it comes to business is just an idiotic statement. Obviously, he knows how to work deals. He knows how to make money. Has every deal he's ever touched turned to gold? No. He doesn't bat 1,000, but he seems to know what he's doing, and it seems to have support from Democrats just 10, 20 years ago, who said, we have a problem with China, we need to fix this trade imbalance.
You know, I don't believe in hyperbole in praising people, because, of course, God gets the ultimate praise. But, you know, I've really come to the conclusion that Donald Trump is a kind of genius. I really have, because, you know, geniuses are people who can, who viscerally or instinctually get things or see things that other people just don't. Yes, maybe other people can work hard enough, and maybe they've got enough talent that at some point maybe they'll get it. But the genius is the guy who just viscerally and instinctually sees it. And I really think that that's how Donald Trump negotiates. I think the guy is a genius negotiator. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got the whole world on pins and needles watching him and responding to him. They're coming to him. Let's cut a new deal. And he's absolutely right, Pastor Jeff, absolutely right. America's been taken to the cleaners in our trade deals with foreign countries, even our allies. Our trade deficit is absolutely astronomical, and we need to bring that money and bring those jobs and bring that manufacturing home. And Donald Trump is working to do that. I think if they don't stop him by taking away his tariff authority, I think we're going to see 4 years from now a wealthier, healthier, more economically sound America.
Amen. I think so, too. Now, what's your take on Elon Musk?
Well, you know, I've asked my congregation to pray for Elon Musk because I really believe that God is working on Elon Musk. I do. Even though Elon Musk is a confessed atheist, I see in him a sense of right and wrong and mm-hmm. justice that I really believe God can use and wants to use. And so my prayer is that Elon Musk will become the Christian and conservative version of George Soros and begin to use his great wealth to advance the cause of right and decency and honor and godliness in our country. So, but I really believe God is using him in spite of his apparent atheism to try to ferret out a lot of corruption and waste that is going on and has been going on for decades in our country.
Yeah, he seems to be doing a great job from my perspective. I marvel at his ability to produce all the things that he has his yes. hand in. It's just amazing.
Again, a genius.
Yeah, just a genius. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson. And when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment for the bishop, he's always game to take your calls, and I appreciate him coming on today. So give us a call and let's talk. We'll be right back after the break. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are a day before Good Friday and the start of Easter weekend. I hope you have a place where you're planning to go. We have a service on Friday at 7 o'clock, our communion service. We do it every Good Friday as we proclaim his death and remember the cross, and then celebrate on Easter Sunday, two identical services here at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, 8:30 and 10:30. Now, Bishop, you have something special coming up with Stan, do you not?
I want to, again, thank you for supporting it and thank American Family Radio for supporting it. It's the Stan Awards Dinner. We're honoring five great patriots from around the country. Tina Deskovich, a founder of Moms for Liberty. Kevin Freeman of the Economic War Room that can be seen on Blaze. Walter Hoy, one of the great pro-life leaders of our country. Stacey Washington used to be a talk show host here on American Family Radio. And Robert L. Woodson of the Woodson Institute. We're giving them the George Washington Award for taking a step understand. And the most important thing for people to know is because of your generosity and the generosity of American Family Radio, we have complimentary tickets available for American Family Radio listeners. So if you're anywhere near the Leesburg, Virginia area, that means Maryland, North Carolina, or anywhere in Virginia, and you'd like to come, you can come for free. And this is $150 value. These tickets are $150, but you will not have to pay anything. All you've got to do is email us at awardsdinner@standinc.net. That's awardsdinner@standinc.net, and reference American Family Radio and say, I'd like to get complimentary tickets, and tell us how many you want. We don't know how many we're going to have available yet. It's going to be on a first come, first serve basis, but I can tell you we have at least two tables available for AFR listeners, and maybe even three. So get in there now and reserve your tickets now if you're in the area. We'd love to see you there. That's May the 16th, Friday, May the 16th at 7 p.m. at Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia, the great Cornerstone Chapel Church pastored by Gary Hambrick. So folks, look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, I like Gary. He tells it like it is, doesn't he,
yes,
Bishop?
Yes, he does.
Very good.
He's one of us.
Yes, he's one of us. And that's cool. So the number to call is 888-589-8840 if you'd like to ask a question or share a comment with us. We'd love to take your call. And we have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, guys. Appreciate taking my call. Love the program as always. Y'all were talking about the big cities there, and my mind kind of reverted back to Minnesota. I think there was 87 counties there, and I think 83 of the counties that came in, and Trump was up 14%. And then they went to the St. Paul's and the Minneapolis, Minnesota, and there was a 28-point swing in the Democratic side on favor. And I was just wanting to get y'all's thought. I thought that was very concerning and kind of stood out. But, yeah, that really, when y'all had talked about that earlier, that really had kind of hit me right in the face. And I just wanted to get your thoughts and appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, thank you.
Bishop?
Yeah, you know, this is a phenomenon that's happening across the country. We got this problem in Virginia, which is that in the more urban areas of pretty much every state in the country, you have a concentration of Democrat voters. I mean, in Northern Virginia, for example, in Alexandria, Arlington, I mean, it's 10 to 1. And it's very difficult if you don't have a large population of more rural people, more traditional people, it's very difficult to overcome that. I mean, I'll give you my own example. I won 75% of the counties, back a little bit more than that, in Virginia when I ran for lieutenant governor, and still lost because I lost Northern Virginia. And Northern Virginia is a concentration of millions of voters that really kind of skew the state. So this is a phenomenon that we have. Now, I think we can overcome it, by the way, by making sure we turn our vote out. So those Christians, those pro-life people, those pro-Second Amendment people, don't sit home with disgusted and discouraged, but get up and vote for the person who best reflects your values. And we can overcome that. We did in 4 years ago here in Virginia. We got another election coming up this year, and I hope we can do it again.
Bishop, do you think the people that even the politicians that are for all these things. You know, I've stated before, Trump is setting up the table to where, because they hate him so much, they're going to go against anything that he says or does. And it puts him in a position, just like letting biological men play women's sports, that puts them out of favor with so many Americans. Do you think the politicians actually believe the line they're towing? Or is it just like, hey, I'm a Democrat, so I have to go along with this?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think that there are ideologues, and I think Bernie Sanders, who is a confessed socialist, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is a confessed socialist, I think they really believe this stuff. They really are Marxists. I believe there are a lot of Democrats who go along with it because they know that that's the direction in which the party is moving, and they better get with it if they want to survive politically. The sad thing is, though, I think the more they do that, the more they tend to sort of embrace this far left ideology. And I really believe at this point, Jeff, I think that the Democrat Party is becoming more like a demonic cult than like a political party because of the things that they believe, the things that they espouse, and the degrees to which they go. I mean, you don't hear them denouncing all the violence that is arising among these transgenders and the campus violence against Jewish people. You don't hear them denouncing this at all. I mean, that to me is behaving more like a cult than a political party, because you and I would denounce violence no matter where it comes from. Doesn't matter whether we think these people might be on our side in one way or another, because we know it's wrong. But the Democrat Party has simply lost its way in that regard.
Well, do you think it's fair if the left levels the same charge against Republicans and say, hey, if you don't go along with Donald Trump, then he's going to primary you. You're going to be on the skids. So you have to just swallow your pride and say, OK, I'll go along with this even if I don't agree with it.
Well, look, politics attracts people who are interested in power. Not everybody is obsessed with power. Some people really go into politics because they want to serve. And I thank God that there are people like that in office. But the fact of the matter is, I don't hesitate to disagree with Donald Trump if I think he's wrong. Now I'm not in office. I realize that. But I think, look, we are a Judeo-Christian nation. That means we are a nation founded, as a founding father said, on self-evident truths. We believe in truth. And I think even when the truth cuts against what somebody you like and admire is doing, I think you've just got to tell the truth. I mean, so for example, I've said many times, if I'd been elected president, I wouldn't have appointed homosexuals to office. I just wouldn't do it. Because to me, it is an affront to God. Particularly now, if you don't know what people are doing in their private lives, and that's their private lives, that's a different matter. But when they openly, I'm the first gay to be, I mean, I just don't think that should ever be celebrated in our country. But I still, generally speaking, love what Donald Trump is doing. And so generally, I stand with him. But I think we've got to have the independence of mind. Gary Hamrick is another guy who said the same thing. I don't agree with everything Donald Trump does or says. Mm-hmm. We're not a cult. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost, and we support Donald Trump because, for the most part, his agenda is in agreement with the agenda of God.
Amen. I agree with that. Well, we have Edgar on the line from Maryland. Edgar, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I want to say to the bishop, I think he's a man of the highest honesty and integrity before God.
Thank you,
but
sir.
But what I question is, could the military attaché and the ambassador to Ukraine and Trump's first 4 years be prosecuted, and why have they not been prosecuted just by their own testimony and congressional hearings? They undermine the President of the United States, and particularly under a military attaché, that would be a court-martial.
All right, Bishop.
Well, look, the Trump administration has so much to do. And there's really, I mean, even with all the staff that he has, he's got a limited bandwidth. And my guess is he's probably picking and choosing his fights and trying to move the country forward rather than focusing on the things that have happened in the past. That'd be my guess. I think there's a lot of prosecutable stuff. I think you could prosecute Anthony Fauci. Mm-hmm. I think he lied to Congress. I mean, they put Peter Navarro in jail. They put Steve Bannon in jail because they claimed that they wouldn't testify to Congress. Not that they lied. And some of these folks just flat out lied to Congress. But in the end, I think President Trump is, his attitude probably is, let me move the country forward rather than relitigating all the problems of the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good word. Thank you, Edgar. I appreciate that. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just had these thoughts about the tariffs and the border and what Trump is doing. And I really feel strongly that this was a positive measure. I don't think it was a positive measure to put a 90-day hold on this. I think he should have put a 9-day stay on the tariffs. But from someone who's telling us, as the middle class, we want to make stuff in America, but there's no grants out there. But the federal government's been giving for decades and decades, corporate welfare to Wall Street, to Bank of America, to the top five big banks and J.P. Morgan and all that. All that stuff is on the backs of the middle class with all this crap coming from China. And I'm telling you, from somebody who went to school and studied metallurgy and science and manufacturing and processes and machining, I feel like I've just wasted my life. My gifts are just gone with all this Chinese junk being floated into the country, and they have no respect. You ever deal with a Chinaman in business, you know all he does is lie. And for our government to do the same thing with all the money they've generated from trade since Clinton opened up favored nation trade status with China, I'm just what can I do except continue to pray and to have hope that Trump sees the light and says, you know what, we got to strip the Chinese just out of trade completely with the U.S. I don't care what it costs. It's just, you know, all everyone. I mean, look, I just got back from L.A. I had to deal with a friend of mine died from fentanyl poisoning. And as I drove through MacArthur Park, it's fenced off on Alvarado to keep all the zombies from falling into the street and getting ran over. They're all out on a drug that's half xylazine and fentanyl. Yeah. And he's doing a great service to block the border from all this. But everybody else in the Midwest and the blue states, they don't see the problem. They don't.
Yes, I would. Well, I would say they don't want to see the problem. They know it's there, but they just keep turning a blind eye to it. What's your reply to Ron, Bishop?
Well, look, I would say, Ron, I understand your frustration. Have a little patience. We didn't get here overnight. And I think the president is trying to navigate his way through this in a way that causes minimum harm to the country while he's doing it. So I tend to give him the benefit of the doubt on the 90-day hold because I think he's trying to make sure that the American people don't face an economic shock with the increase in prices that China's imposing on us. So I'd say be patient. We didn't get here overnight. It's going to take a little time, but I think Donald Trump's heading in the right direction.
Well, you know, Bishop, Trump has the Constitution to take on things that other people would not have the courage to do. And so, yeah, I think I heard it might have been Dave Ramsey saying, you know, if you get out of the roller coaster in the middle of the ride, you're going to really have trouble. But if you stay seated, you know, he's talking about the stock market and all the volatility. Right. If you're freaking out because it goes down, well, are you in it for a day or are you in it for an extended period of time? And if you're just going to be a day trader, then you're going to have trouble.
And you know, I'd say really quickly that the real backbone of the American economy is the American people, our work ethic, our innovation, our inventiveness, yes, our willingness to sacrifice and take risk. And Donald Trump, I think, is raising the morale of the country in a way that gives me a lot of hope for our future.
Yes, for sure. We have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, we only have about a minute, but ask your question quickly, if you would.
What do you think about actual government schools and private schools teaching the Constitution and the Declaration as a law, understanding? Because I don't think this generation actually understands what the law is. And you've got all these even adults now that have been indoctrinated the past 10, 20 years, and then they don't have a right understanding of the Constitution or the law.
Bishop, you agree with that, don't you?
Teach them both. They didn't make us read the Constitution at Harvard Law School. I think every American ought to read the Constitution.
Yes. Amen. Well, Bishop, thanks so much for being my guest today. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Pastor Jeff.
Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. And let me encourage you. So tomorrow's Good Friday. Find a place you can go to worship and to think about what the Lord did when he died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. And then on Easter Sunday morning, celebrate the empty tomb. That changes everything. The heart of Christianity is in the empty tomb, the cross and the empty tomb, and both are required to open the door of heaven. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.